honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. The Minnesota Timberwolves played some spectacular basketball for the most part. Maybe not every single game, but at the end of the day, they played four games and they won them all. That puts the Minnesota Timberwolves now at 30-11, which is on pace for what? 60 wins, ladies and gentlemen. Can we keep up the pace? Well, maybe. We're halfway through the year, so hopefully just do it again. That's all. It's that easy, right? No, nothing's easy. Nothing about this is easy, but luckily the Wolves' schedule is not too difficult, or so they say, so you never know. I mean, there's always a possible trap game. The way the Wolves played against Detroit, I've seen better, but I suppose it's an NBA team, NBA players. They want to, you know, get their head out of somewhere and start playing better and win a couple games. I mean, so I can understand. Interesting uniforms by Detroit, by the way. But, I'm still shocked at how bad the record is, honestly. Not trying to be a jerk about it. It's just weird. So the Timberwolves beat Portland comfortably. They beat the Clippers in an epic battle back and forth. They had kind of a battle back and forth with Detroit. And Memphis was definitely an epic battle, but things turned big time as Anthony Edwards just exploded in the fourth quarter. And the Timberwolves escape a game against the Memphis Grizzlies, 118-103. That was pretty exciting. Very fun Thursday night basketball, and I have a lot to say about that. It was extremely enjoyable. All right, let's open things up. Actually, back up here real fast. I believe it's four games to review, four games to preview. Yes. Upcoming OKC home. These are home games. OKC on Saturday. Monday against Charlotte, 8-30 Charlotte Hornets. The Washington Wizards on Wednesday. The 7-33 Washington Wizards in Washington. So that's kind of a, you know, this is, you know, we'll see if the Wolves can pull off a back-to-back type of deal with at Washington and at Brooklyn. I've seen easier at the end of the day. Brooklyn is 8 games under 500, but you never know. So that will be in Brooklyn, New York, that type of deal. So, yeah, East Coast swing. And then the Wolves head to San Antonio, but that's into next week's show. And then OKC again. So, okay, and then host the Dallas Mavericks and blah, blah, blah. And that wraps up the month of January, as the sunlight continues to improve day by day this time of year. So that's the good thing. The earliest sign of spring is the sunlight gradually improving in January, and then it speeds up in February and speeds up even more in March and blah, 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 blah. And before you know it, daylight savings and springtime and all that cute stuff. Wow. Why am I getting into that? I don't know. Timberwolves went 4-0 this week and are on pace for 60 wins. That's more exciting, I suppose, huh? Comfortable win, though. The Wolves showed up to play against the Portland Trailblazers. Thankfully, 36-15 first quarter, and you know the rest of the way the Timberwolves kind of just maintained their lead for the most part. Portland had a garbage time comeback for the 36-28 fourth quarter for Portland, but you know again that's garbage time, 116-93 in Tarjay. So no Rose Garden for this one. At the end of the day, we'll talk about that. That's coming up later when it comes to Valentine's Day when we, I believe we wrap up the season series or. I don't remember. Doesn't matter at this point. Rudy Gobert with 17 rebounds. Ken Conley with another 10 assists. Anthony Edwards ran into a couple issues in this one. Again, unfortunately, struggled a bit and was sat down. Only two fouls, so it wasn't really foul trouble. It was more just kind of, I don't know, maybe banged up a little bit. But also at the same time, you know, he didn't shoot as many shots in the game. And they just figured sit him down, get some rest, you know. Like, there's your quote-unquote load management in a game where the Wolves have a comfortable lead. Why overplay Mike Conley and Anthony Edwards? Conley only saw 20 minutes in the game and still managed to get 10 assists and 0 turnovers. That's insanely impressive. Gobert with 17 rebounds, 9 of 11 from the floor, and that was an inside job. 7 of 8 for Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, the Wolves were just kind of all over this team. 55% from the floor, 35% from outside because, I don't know, kind of clinging in threes. But Naz Reid did hit half of his shots in the game. Wooka, Nickeil Alexander-Walker with 18 minutes and only 2 points. But so you didn't get like a ton of points from some of those guys. Jake Milton, Troy Brown, Josh Minot. I don't want to say it wrong. Leonard Miller. Leonard Miller's sighting. He's going to become more of a factor, I think, as the years go by, so to speak. 4 minutes in seven, in 4 points in 8 minutes. Wendell Moore, 4 points in 8 minutes, that type of thing. So slightly more. Of course, all those guys were a minus because Portland was definitely on a run in that fourth quarter trying to make the score a little bit prettier just because, I guess, because they were trailing by like 40 or something. So that's kind of how that goes. That's why a lot of the starters were like Anthony Edwards was a plus 41. And again, only 9 points, but oh well. You know, forget about the stat padding and just enjoy the fact you're winning comfortably and don't need to hurt yourself out there. Don't need to kill yourself out there. Anthony Edwards averaging 26 points a game this year. Absolutely an all-star. There's like no doubt about that. Having a hell of a year, of course. 38% from outside. Yeah, so yeah, 5 assists on the season. Isn't that amazing? So obviously love what he's been able to accomplish during the course of this season. And Gobert averaging over 2 blocks a game, unlike last year. Again, a comfortable win by the Timberwolves, and that's pretty much all you need to know. I probably shouldn't babble too much. Just came out to an early lead and took care of business. And against Portland and the way they've been playing lately, why not? So then there's the, well, this would have been the feature presentation, and in fact, it probably is. But I mean, that Memphis game was so much fun. Despite the fact they have an inferior record, they're playing really well. Despite the fact John Morant's not healthy, now they're playing better without. They're playing better even though John Morant's not there. They're still, you know, playing a significantly better brand of basketball. Whereas they were kind of like where, you know, like the Spurs are pretty much before Ja came back. Ja comes back, they start playing way the heck better, and then he gets hurt, and they still are playing better. So they're still playing good. They just kind of found themselves with Ja returning and then going out as well. The Clipper game. This was definitely a back and forth battle in a lot of ways. It was like a test. It was a, what the heck do they call that? I mean, I heard the term a million times and I'm blanking on it now. But, you know, it's like a taste test or whatever the heck it is, a heat test, whatever it is. This was, you know, one of those kind of games where you're going to, like, how good are we? Are we really legit? Are we going to get it done? Are we going to be, because the Clippers have been red hot. They've been in first place despite Russell Westbrook missing layups and whatever, missing everything else, and then pointing fingers at other people for missing free throws. Gosh, where did I get that thought from? I don't know. But he was badgering Rudy Gobert along with other players on the Clippers bench and such. In general, just kind of laughing at Rudy Gobert and the hack a Gobert approach. He was missing free throws, but down the stretch, Rudy Gobert, you know, during that Clipper run when they were coming back and possibly going to take the game and beat us, he made his free throws during the Haka Gobert deal. After Gobert had missed half of them, generally speaking, got to 7 of 14 from the line, but still was insanely valuable down the stretch. Had a few unbelievable blocks. And this game, it's like co-feature presentations. This one and the Memphis game are signs of just how good this Timberwolves team truly is. An unbelievable block on Kawhi Leonard. I mean, it was incredible how he was able to get that. Rudy Gobert couldn't believe it either. It was kind of late. Rudy Gobert ultimately hit Kawhi's hand, but after the ball came out. So it's like, it's kind of one of those things. That's why you didn't see a whole lot of complaining. So it was well after the ball came out that Rudy Gobert kind of high-fived Kawhi Leonard after the block, kind of, you know what I mean, unintentionally. Rudy Gobert also had 18 rebounds in the game. Anthony Edwards with 9 rebounds, pardon me. Driving to the basket, 11 of 12 from the free throw line. Just one great play after another. Anthony Edwards was talking a little bit, which is unfortunate. I wish he wouldn't do that too much, but it kind of is what it is. 33 points from Anthony Edwards. He was spectacular in the game. This was extreme entertainment. And, wow, the Wolves escaped a dangerous run by the Clippers in that fourth quarter. There was definitely a threat, as the Clippers did win that quarter big time, 37-28, as the Wolves built a pretty big lead after the third quarter. Definitely a game of runs back and forth. Early lead for the Wolves. Clippers come roaring back in the second quarter. Wolves build a big lead again in the third, and the Clippers come roaring back in the fourth. But the Hack of Gobert thankfully didn't work. Russell Westbrook, after all his talking and all that stuff, you know, being the biggest hypocrite in the world, missing a layup at the end of the game. So it's like, oh, well, too bad, so sad. And I don't know, at his contract and all that, I don't know. And his, you know, his demands and what he does and all that, he's probably at the end of his career pretty soon, whether you like him or not. Obviously, hell of a talent, but I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't back up some of the stuff he says, you know, and does sometimes. And obviously, that's a situation right there. If you can't even make a layup, I mean, who are you? So at the end of the day, like at the end of the game like that, 13 assists, good for him and everything. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, kind of embarrassing, even though he made two of his threes. Clippers made a lot of threes in this game. Norman Powell, 6 of 9. Paul George, 4 of 13. He missed a lot of them down the stretch, and that was, whew, the Wolves dodged a bullet a bit in this one. 2 of 9 from James Harden. But again, it's a good team. They're in first place in the Pacific Division, so it's not like, oh God, what are we going to, you know, I mean, it's not like, man, we almost lost to this mediocre team. No, they're good, and they've been on fire. So, and they're healthy for once. They're, you know, it shows you how good the Clippers are when they're actually healthy. So that's definitely a thing when it comes to the that's definitely a thing when it comes to this whole situation and why this game was so competitive back and forth. It was two pretty you know, good teams going at it, and thankfully the Wolves emerged victorious down the stretch, despite a few turnovers. Anthony Edwards getting 5 in the game once again. So kind of an off and on, back and forth type of game. Now we'll move on to the Detroit game, which was way, way, way closer than it should have been. I mean, is there any doubt about that? Like, kind of, it's almost kind of like what happened here. Well, I got my lemon in the tomato juice, even though Detroit has nothing to do with that. It's more like Detroit-style pizza, like Jets or something. So now I'm getting hungry for the Jets pizza, I guess. I don't know. The Wolves must have had too much Jets. I have no idea, because the defense wasn't so good. Jaden Ivey, what did he have? Like 32 points in the game. I mean, pretty impressive performance. The Detroit offense definitely showed up to play. Luckily, the Wolves' offense was, you know, pretty much in sync for the most part. I mean, it was a little sloppy at times, but I mean, only 9 turnovers, so it wasn't that bad. You had 9 assists from Kyle Anderson off the bench, very impressive, of course. 8 assists from Edwards and 7 from Conley. So a little bit of moving the ball around, and that was great. Rudy Gobert has been rebounding like a madman lately, and, you know, hitting his shots and all that stuff, close to the basket, of course, 8 of 11. Jaden McDaniels was 8 and 11. Wonderful game for him. And this kind of felt like a Jaden McDaniels kind of game. It just kind of did. Like, I can imagine Jaden having a good game against the Detroit Pistons, whether they're good or not good. It just kind of smelled Jaden McDaniels a little bit. And, yeah, 23 points for him. One of his better games of the season. 8 of 11 from the floor, 3 of 4 from outside. Carl made all 5 of his threes. All 5. 4 assists. Yeah, so again, great ball movement in the game. You got to see a little bit of garbage time for Troy Brown and Shake Milton, but I mean, you know, you kind of feel bad for them. You think of them as rotation type players, but they're not in the rotation. J-Mac, Jordan McLaughlin, he's like the 9th man, basically, getting a few minutes. Sometimes they go with 8 man, sometimes they go with 9. Him being Chris Finch, of course, rather than just they. So I apologize for that. Him being Chris Finch at the end of the day. I don't know. This game was annoyingly closer than it needed to be, but there were some nice plays in the game. Anthony Edwards, again, getting to the basket and all of that. He only attempted 4 free throws in the game. He didn't shoot particularly well, necessarily. Just kind of a weird game, but the Wolves still wound up with 50% from the floor and 50% from outside. The three-point shooting definitely helped. Carl and Jaden McDaniels, huge part of that, making, 8 of 9. So that's pretty good. Made up for anybody else clanging them, like Naz Reid, only 1 for 4. Nikhil Alexander, Walker, 1 of 3, that type of thing. So, but Nikhil Alexander Walker's defense, obviously, is what it is. It's so valuable. It's the job done. Even Naz Reid had 3 steals in the game. That's pretty crazy. You don't see that very often. But at least the Wolves won the game. You know, road games against not-so-good teams can be trap games. It's just a fact. I mean, how many times did we lose games like this last year? Didn't we get swept by Detroit last year? We got swept, right? So think about that. So Detroit, I don't know. They know how to give us a hard time. There's no doubt about that. Charlotte knows how to give us a hard time as well, and they're coming up. So we'll see what happens. Detroit was one of the four worst teams last year. So, I mean, there's a reason why they've been picking high the last few years, and maybe eventually something will, you know, something will click there in Detroit, and all of a sudden, here they come. They're one of the better teams in the league right before you know it. Kind of like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, they were at the bottom for a while, and then all of a sudden, uh-oh, now look at them. They're like one or two or three in the Western Conference. So they've definitely become a massive threat for the Timberwolves, and that's going to be an entertaining game coming up. So we'll see how Detroit does. Obviously, there's something there. Not sure why they're losing every night. It's just weird and crazy. What's their record? 4-37. So I guess they did get their fourth win recently, which is their second win since ending that massive, massive historic losing streak. What was it? 28 games in a row. Like, that's unheard of. Like, how do you lose 28 games in a row? That's pretty much 2 months of basketball right there. 28 games in a row. And I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm just stunned by it. It's like, holy mother Moses. So luckily the Wolves escaped that one, 124-117. Despite how important and pivotal that Clipper game was, and it really was, it was a signature game. It was a test. It was a true test to how good the Timberwolves are. If you can take care of business versus the LA Clippers, which the Wolves did. Not the easiest game in the world, but they got the job done. It wasn't one where I come out of it bitching, thinking like, man, I mean, what the hell? We're just lucky we won anything, you know, this year. No, that was a pretty well-played basketball game, and the Clippers were good. The Clippers were good, and credit to them. Memphis game, kind of, you know, they're definitely a lot more dangerous than they had been earlier in the season, where they were just kind of a pushover. They were down there with the Spurs. They were down there with the, you know, whoever, you know, kind of like Detroit at the end of the day, where we beat them comfortably. It was like, eh, you know, now they're a completely different story. They're definitely dangerous. They're not I don't think they're a threat to make the postseason or anything, but maybe. I mean, they probably dug themselves too big of a hole. Kind of like the team that plays across the river called the Minnesota Wild. Check out Brave the Wild if you're interested in some hockey conversation. Yeah, like where they dug themselves too much of a hole. You know, there's a certain point in the season where it's like, I don't know, unless you're like hotter than red hot, like white hot, your odds of making the postseason are very slim. This game was interesting. It was very entertaining. And at the end of the day, it becomes our feature presentation of the week.
And now, our feature presentation.
Not because Anthony Edwards had only 2 points in the first half, but partially because he had 26 points in the second half. And it was incredible basketball. Mike Conley wound up with 10 assists. Naz Reid just was silky smooth in this game. Just harkened back days of some, you know, certain players that we missed so much. I don't know. He looked like, I don't know how to explain it. But other than that, though, I mean, he was just beautiful. Like, when I say silky smooth, there's only one player that comes to mind. God rest his soul, Malik Steely. He looked like Malik Steely is like a power forward center. That's what Naz Reid was. Malik Steely was 6'9", by the way. He was a very tall guard. He was like a small forward kind of guy in a lot of ways, but played like a guard. He was so silky smooth. Just the second I watched him play, I was like, Silk. Like, that's his name. I just called him Silk, like the first day. Malik Steely. This was, you know, the open scrimmage in 1999, right when the lockout ended. Just like freaking couple weeks after the Vikings choked against the Atlanta Falcons. The anniversary was a few days ago. Yeah, January 99, the most painful sporting event in my life, ever. I hope there's never a more painful one, ever. There was another one that was just about as bad, though, and that was the Saints game. I couldn't sleep that night. I couldn't sleep that night. Hopefully the Wolves don't hand that to us, a situation like that. Let's get it done. Let's not be like the Celtics and the Warriors in the finals a couple of years ago. We get to the finals, let's win the dang thing. I'd be so happy. Rudy Gobert, well, 7 of 10 free throws. All right, there you go. That's a start. Also added 10 rebounds, but 6 blocks in the game. He was unbelievable. Another guy who was unbelievable in this game was Jaren Jackson. Holy moly, man. Jaren Jackson Jr., not his shooting guard father who couldn't shoot too well, but he was a tough defender, and he was a solid player for the Spurs. 36 points. He was dunking all over the place. Only one block, and he's actually the leader in blocks since 2021. Rudy Gobert is, what, fourth since then? Jaren Jackson's number one, but only one in this particular game. Almost fouled out and still wound up with 36 points. He was taken out with about 9 minutes left in the fourth, which I thought, okay, now maybe we can come back and do something here. Because it had been a tough, 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 tough game. The Wolves were down for like the longest time, and it was extremely frustrating. Anthony Edwards only 2 points in the first half, like I said before. Kyle Anderson, and he pretty much had 2 points into the fourth quarter. I mean, Kyle Anderson told him at halftime that Anthony Edwards mentioned this to Charles Barkley, a TNT postgame, which was just, you know, so much fun. Anthony Edwards talking with Charles Barkley. Every team has this tough guy, like, you know, this tough veteran guy in the locker room that'll kind of like, you know, tell you what's up, basically. Charles Barkley said he had Dan Majerle, and I forget who the other guy was. I could imagine Mark West being like that with the Phoenix Suns. Rick Mahorn. That would have been with the Philadelphia 76ers. Rick Mahorn was a real tough guy. Dan Majerle, of course, with the Phoenix Suns. Like, come on, man. What's going on? You only have 6 points. You're like three of whatever, you know? You're like three of 10. Come on. You're better than this. That type of thing. Where Kyle Anderson basically, yeah, Anthony Edwards said, that guy's Kyle Anderson for sure with the Wolves. And he said, you ain't no superstar with only 2 points, you know, in the first half. What's going on? You know, and that's, you know, Anthony Edwards went absolutely berserk in that fourth quarter. Took a while for the Wolves to finally gain the lead. And when they did, it was like a, you know, it was like the dam broke. It was so amazing. Naz Reid hit three after three. Anthony Edwards was doing a bit of everything, driving to the basket, you know, stomping on a dime and turning and putting the ball in. It was just gorgeous basketball, almost Jordan-esque. One of six from downtown, that certainly didn't help Anthony Edwards' cause. That was earlier in the game, most of that. But again, you know, just those drives to the basket, the stop on a dime, you know, I was able to stop on a dime and turn and put it in. Gorgeous stuff. And then he had what he calls the best dunk he ever had, him being Anthony Edwards, of course, where he kind of made like a double crossover, put the ball off the backboard, kind of a la like slam dunk competition / all-star game type of deal, caught it and jammed it in. And he said that was the best dunk of his career, basically, or it must have been. Again, it was a double crossover. It was just, whoa, like, holy cow. Cool stuff. And as the Wolves were building the lead, Anthony Edwards was, you know, dribbling around, getting ready, and then it just attacked the basket. There was nobody there. It was just game over. He blew by everybody and put it in, and it's like, oh my God, we're going to finally win this game. It was such a scary game for the longest time. It's like, why is Memphis up by six? Like, still, they're still up by six. We just can't seem to get it done here. They would hit a three-pointer. Anytime we'd build something of a lead or start to come back, they'd hit another three-pointer. But we kept creeping back, and the Wolves ultimately emerged victorious in one of the funnest games I've watched in a very long time. It was a Thursday night, obviously, and there's just something, there's a charm to Thursday night in basketball to me. And it's not because it's on TNT. Most people would assume that, but it goes back a lot further, at least in my world. We used to go to Northwest Racquet Swim and Health Club, and we had one of those memberships where, you know, where it would cost less if you, you know, it's like different cards. Was it Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, right? Those are the days we could go. There was another card where it was like three other days. And then there was the blue card where you could go 7 days a week, where it costs the most, obviously. We had the orange card. Thursday nights, just going to Northwest Racquet Swim and Health Club and shooting hoops and playing in games and all that. It brought back so many memories. And it made me feel like a teenager, again, watching that game. A teenager and maybe early. No, I didn't even get in my 20s before we left there. It's so sad how long ago this is. It's way back in the day. We went to the Northwest Racquet Swim and Health Club. That's on, Cedar Lake Road at St. Louis Park? It became Lifetime Fitness many years ago, which is totally fine. We just, you know, I don't know. Some of us, we just can't afford it or whatever. I would love to have a membership again and go to clubs and, you know, not nightclubs, but health clubs. I wouldn't go to a nightclub if you paid me. That's just how I am. I don't have no interest in it, especially in today's music. Holy crap, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm an 80s and early 90s kind of guy, late 70s as well. Why did I get into that? But this game just kind of made it, it just kind of it had that magical Thursday night feeling, and I miss that so much, going there and playing with some, you know, yeah, usually some, you know, random older guys that were, you know, like maybe 30s, 40s, upper 20s. They were really good, you know, some of them were really good players, and it was nice to kind of learn from them and maybe get my butt kicked by them, and maybe all of a sudden show signs, you know, like, whoa, this kid's pretty good too, you know. And that kind of, when you see Anthony Edwards doing all those great plays, it just kind of brought me back to that feeling. I don't know why, it just did. It's Thursday night basketball. It was such an enjoyable game, and this game to me was special. It just was special. Timberwolves easily would have lost this game, probably any other year. They probably would have lost this game in 03-04. I just get that feeling. The only reason why we may have won that game back then is maybe Sam Cassell goes off. He gets real clutch, gets hot. Because Sprewell, I don't know. Sprewell bothered me the day he got on the team, practically. Maybe it was like the first game or two. It was like, whoa, you know, look at that. Look at his ability to drive to the basket. And it was almost right after that. It's like, dude, this guy's not as good as he used to be. He's just not. Just something's missing from him, and he makes dumb plays. Cassell was better than advertised, and Garnett was the MVP of the NBA that year. So it's like, yeah, it was a fun team, but there was something missing from that team, even though they probably would have, could have, should have won the championship that year. I think there's extra on this team. It's a combination of youth and just, you know, leadership and such. Thanks to people like Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert in a lot of ways, even though, you know, the togetherness of this team compared to last year, it's like night and day. Like people making fun of Rudy Gobert and all that, in the Clipper game, Clipper players making fun of him, and then how the Wolves players, you know, they had his back, and then Rudy got the job done when it mattered most. In this game, you saw Rudy Gobert drop like a entry pass, and it was like, oh, dang it. It was kind of a crappy, you know, it was kind of high and all that, but it's like you see him drop it, and it's a turnover, and then Memphis is driving down the court and dunking. It's like, damn it, anyway, you know, in the fourth quarter. But, you know, they just stuck to it. There's a stick-to-itiveness, which is a word that was invented I don't know how many years ago by us sports fans and sports podcasters and broadcasters and such. stick-to-itiveness, you know, maybe play-by-play voices, so we're all in our version of sports media. I mean, this is sports media, what I'm doing right here. It might not be, it might not be 50,000-watt radio or anything, but it's still worldwide podcasting, at least. Why am I babbling into that? But, yeah, the stick-to-itiveness is the whole point that this team has is something to behold. And to me, it smells 60 wins. It tells me this team absolutely can and will win 60 games this year and compete for an NBA championship. Please, guys, do this. Do this. Stay healthy and do it. That's what I'm hoping. I mean, this was a special night. Nikhil Alexander-Walker's defense was spectacular. Jade McDaniel's defense was great. There were some tic-tac-toe plays with Conley hitting a couple threes. It was so awesome during that comeback when the Wolves finally closed the lead. And, you know, it was so wonderful. And then Anthony Edwards, you know, like I said earlier, like the dam broke. And he just exploded, wound up with 28 points in a game when he had hardly anything for the longest time. Karl Anthony Towns had a couple moments. Didn't play a whole lot in the game, which is fine. I mean, you know, with the rotations, it's because Naz Reid was playing so well and Rudy Gobert was playing so well. They played very well together, Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert. So it kind of was what it was. Didn't get a sense. Karl Anthony Towns was unhappy with it. It helped us come back in the game. Karl returned later and helped finish the job. So that was fun. Like Naz Reid, absolutely spectacular. You know, silky smooth out there. 8 of 13, 20 points. Huge, absolutely huge. Another couple of steals for Naz Reid, which is also really awesome. Help the Wolves come back and win this game. Final score, 118-103 in a game that felt like the Wolves were probably going to lose by like 6, 7, 8 points. And they end up winning by 15. I couldn't believe it. 37-17, fourth quarter. Just awesome. Absolutely awesome. What a wonderful, wonderful night. It truly was at the end of the day. The Lone Wolf Award is going to go to Anthony Edwards. Strong honorable mention to Rudy Gobert. In fact, they might almost be able to share it, I think, for this particular week. That's how good Rudy was. As I try not to cough to death, sorry. But that's how great Rudy Gobert was. Anthony Edwards, again, some really awesome games. And Gobert being clutch. down the stretch. He's going to share it with Anthony Edwards, but Anthony maybe just a little extra silver lining to his because how clutch he was down the stretch. And just, it was fun. Just so enjoyable. And again, like watching Anthony Edwards compared to, you know, other players like, say, Steph Curry launching three after three after three. Yeah, that was at the health club too. And guys like that annoyed the hell out of me. I don't know. I just didn't like it then and I don't like it now. But guys like Anthony Edwards were like a perfect fit, you know, for like a teammate, a perfect fit for somebody to, you know, as you're playing, enjoy and appreciate, you know, like not just stand there and watch them when you're on the court. No, because you don't want to do that, but enjoy and appreciate a player like that or the personality like that as well. So that's what's kind of that little extra oomph for Anthony Edwards and how fun that was. It's just, you know, he's a throwback in a lot of ways. He brings me back to the good old 90s. In a lot of ways, even though it's like it's modern times, blah, blah, blah. But he brings me back to the 90s, and there's nothing wrong with 1990s basketball. There really isn't. He does have a modern game as well, obviously, you know, three after three and all that. So he's like a modernized 90s player in a lot of ways, if that makes any sense. With that said, we'll take a quick break, come back and preview the four upcoming games, and go from there. And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number two, time to preview the upcoming games, which is always a lot of fun. Oh boy, well, just like the Clipper game on Sunday, this Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, Target Center, it's a date, Jan 20th, we're already 3 weeks into January, which is incredible. So we can stop saying that three words that we say on January 31st and January 1st, stop saying that. I don't care if you haven't seen that person for 3 months. You don't need to say that word anymore. It keeps happening at work. It drives me nuts. Anyhow, the OKC Thunder. Who's this Chet guy? I don't know. Chet Shoes, right? He's the sponsor for Chet Shoes. Okay, I don't know. He's the spokesman. Chet Shoes, right? Well, that's what I'm going to call him anyway because I can. Third in the league. OKC is third in the league in offense. Yep, 122 a game. Wolves are 21st because their defense is so good, I suppose. They're only 28th in rebounds because they make so many shots, right? Wolves are 11th. They are number two in field goal percentage. I don't like to bring that up too much, but they make their shots. Just look at this. Third in points, 28th in rebounds. See how, again, that comes back to they make their shots, right? Third in points, number two in overall field goal percentage, over 50%. Number one in free throw percentage, 84%. The Wolves are 14th. Number two in three-point percentage, 39.2. The Wolves are third. That's good, too. Assists, they're, 10th. The Wolves are 15th. Turnovers, overall turnovers, only 11.7. Number one in the league. Assist to turnover ratio, number two in the league. The Wolves are 28th in turnovers. Thank you, Anthony Edwards. Settle down a little bit, like I said on last week's episode. Assist to turnover ratio, the Wolves are 25th. Block shots, they're number one also. What the heck, man? Number one in the league. Wolves are 7th. Thank you, Rudy Gobert. So they're 0.4 more block shots than the Wolves, basically. And they're number four in steals. Jeez, man. Wolves are 11th, so I went over every damn stat there is. Wolves had an epic battle back on November the 28th. That was just after Thanksgiving. It was Merry Christmas time. 106-103, an epic back and forth. Great game. Wolves defense held on tight in that one. And did not hold on tight. Merry Christmas. I hate that phrase now. Tired of it. I'm not sick of Christmas. I'm sick of Happy New Year. There, I said it. Because people say it way 10 times more than anything else. I know it's the universe. Oh, we're happy for you. Tuesday the 26th, right after Christmas, OKC slams the Wolves into the ground, 129-106. And a lot of us were a little unhappy about that, unfortunately. So the season series is going to wrap up very soon. Saturday, January the 20th, that's our next game. Monday, January the 29th, that's going to be in OKC. This one, this weekend, is in Target Center. Let's get it done. Let's win both of these. Wouldn't that be amazing to win the season series against this team that's number one, number two, number three, in so many stats? It's kind of scary. It is scary. OKC is 3-2 in their last five. They had lost two in a row in Los Angeles. They stayed in the same building. Absolutely obliterated Portland, 139-77. Got past Orlando by 12. lost to the Lakers by 7 in Los Angeles. I'm sure. Yep, congratulations, Vince Germano, on a great performance. Your club there. The Clippers staying in the same building, 128-117. So that's really interesting, considering the Wolves have played them pretty recently and all that. They had played them a few days before. So very interesting that the Clippers beat them 128-117. It was a back-to-back, to be fair. And then they beat Utah 134-129. The Wolves have won. The Wolves are 4-1. We have won 4 in a row since getting beat by the Celtics. Well, we split the season series. So, unfortunately, Dort illness apparently as of the 18th, and Deng illness as of the 18th. So we'll see if those two guys play. Usman Deng. We'll see how that turns out. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what is he, number 2 in the league in scoring with 31 points a game, 6.3 assists. Chet Holmgren, only 7.2 rebounds, because they're not much of a rebounding club because they make all their damn shots, which is annoying, but what are you going to do about it? Epic battle. Very epic. It's going to be a very entertaining basketball game. I think Anthony Edwards does get over 30 in this one. I'm sure Shai is going to get over 30 in this one. Chet Holmgren, it's going to be fascinating to see how that turns out. Definitely a great shot blocker, 2.5 a game. So they're like way up there, number 1 in the league in blocks. It's interesting how nobody else even has averaging 1 block a game. And the number 2 guy is Shai. So almost a block. Dort, almost a block. Basically, 0.9, 0.9. And then Aaron Wiggins, not Andrew Wiggins, has the top field goal percentage, but yeah, playing close to the basket in that case. Shai, though, he's shooting 55%. He's a shooting guard. Shai, the shooting guard, is shooting 55% from the floor. Scary. He's terrifying. He's kind of like Dwayne Wade, huh? In a lot of ways. He is kind of like Wade. You know, what is he? Yeah, 6 assists. Only 32% from 3, but then 55 overall. So, yeah, he's kind of like Dwayne Wade a little bit, but definitely a hell of a player and highly respected throughout the league. Jalen Williams is also averaging 18.8, and Chet Holmgren, Chet Shoes, 17.4. Josh Giddey, 35% from downtown, so on and so forth. Dort's been a pain in the butt at times. we'll see how that all turns out. Trey Mann, former Miami Heat, I do believe. So we'll move on from that, though. What's going to happen in this game? I think the Timberwolves win this one in a very close battle. And then the real test is when the Wolves head to OKC. But I think this is another epic close battle. I've said epic like 50 times on this show. I apologize. I should just call the title of the show Epic, right? The Epic Wolves? No, sorry. The Timberwolves do win this basketball game. The final battle in like one of the RPGs. I don't know if it's Lufia and the Fortress of Doom. Check out Video Game Flashback, by the way. I know, too many plugs, sorry. Video Game Flashback. Lufia and the Fortress of Doom. I think the final track, like the final battle, is called Epic Battle, I believe. So it's like that, at least in certain tracks. But this will kind of have that vibe in a lot of ways. Denver's right behind all of us as well. Kind of scary. The Wolves do have a 2-game lead now. OKC had tied us up. This is a very important, pivotal game. Wolves need to win this basketball game, and they will. Final score, 115-112. The Wolves win by 3 again and defeat the Oklahoma City Thunder. Anthony Edwards with 40 in the win. Shai with 40. Yep, Shai with 40. Yep. Anthony Edwards took the ball. He gave, he took an axe. He gave Oklahoma City 40 whacks. When he saw what he'd done, Shai Alexander gave the Wolves 41. But the Wolves win the game at the end of the day. That's what I'm kind of thinking. It's going to be something like that, 40 and 41-ish, if you know what I mean. But the Wolves still win. Charlotte Hornets, really? Yeah, the Charlotte Hornets. No Muggsy Bogues, no Alonzo Mourning or anything. That's for damn sure. Monday night basketball, 8:30. This will be in Target Center. Trap game written all over this thing. LaMelo Ball, does he actually play? But, it probably still pissing a lot of people off that LaMelo Ball got the Rookie of the Year. He is averaging 25 points a game, to be fair. So both players have developed insanely well since all of that. Nick Richards' ankle. This is the Charlotte Hornets, of course. Bryce McGowan's hip. The ankle for Richards is on the 18th of Jan. 16th of Jan for McGowan's at the Hip, and Brandon Miller back the 12th of January. The Charlotte Hornets are 28th in points, 27th in rebounds, 21st in three-point percentage, so on and so forth. Most of their stats are below the middle. Yeah, they're below average except for their free throw percentage is 10th. Woo-wee. Timberwolves did win in Charlotte this year, which is, again, for some reason, we just don't win there very much. We just don't. Whether they're the Bobcats, this Hornets team, or the previous one. You know, that type of thing. 123-117 win on December the 2nd, quite a while ago, as the Wolves were first emerging as the top team in the Western Conference around that time, and have hung on ever since. You know, thank God. Target Center, the Wolves will sweep this season series against the Charlotte Hornets. They have lost all five of their last five games, losing to the Bulls, getting crushed by Sacramento, 123-98, obliterated by the Spurs, what the heck, 135-99, beat pretty good by Miami and New Orleans as well, both 20-point losses. What's going on, man? But so the Wolves need to take care of business here. LaMelo is healthy. He's not on the injured list, but I'm sure he's missed games because he tends to do that. He's missed a ton of games, and that's part of the reason why they're in such a hole. LaMelo, only 18 games on the year, 25 points, 8 assists, basically, 37% from outside, but only 43 overall percent. Because, yeah, I mean, his shooting isn't upper echelon. He's still got a better shot than a certain former Spanish point guard of the Wolves, but it's not by much, you know. Of course, the Wolves' Spanish point guard averaged about 39%. LaMelo, 43. So, yeah, there's that. Terry Rozier, the former Celtic, right? Obviously, he's had some wonderful, he's emerged nicely. 24 points a game, 6.7 assists. They definitely get assists there. Miles Bridges, yep, I'm getting him mixed up with another guy, I believe, with Brooklyn. So, nope, not that one. This isn't the one that, Gordon Hayward is a possible guy the Wolves might sign at some point. The Wolves might be able to acquire. Acquire. There's conversation about that we would be eligible, despite the fact our salaries are high. We're not completely over a certain number yet. So if we want to add people, that could happen. It's just names thrown out there, though. It's just throwing darts at the wall. So it's nothing too crazy. Ish Smith, the former Piston, 3.5 game. So there's that. Definitely a winnable game. I think the Wolves take care of business. I mean, kind of hopefully the Wolves treat this like the Portland game and don't mess around like we did against the Pistons. Like, we could have lost to the Detroit Pistons. You realize that? Yeah. Like last year, we did that a lot. It was annoying. Like, don't lose to the Pistons. Last year we did that a lot, losing to the Houston Rockets, the Pistons, the Hornets, I believe, were one of the other teams. And I can't remember who the other one that was. I think it was the Wizards. Yeah. It's like, what is up with this crap? We had a losing record against the four worst teams in the NBA, so let's stop doing that. It's crazy to think the Spurs are one of the four worst teams or so in the league. That's the next game for the Hornets, actually. They're playing the Spurs, so see if they get their ninth win. Something's got to give in that one. Spurs actually have one less win than the Hornets, which is funny. Wolves win this game comfortably. 20-point victory, I believe. 125-105. Wolves win the game. Karl Anthony Towns, Jade McDaniels kind of have a nice night. But don't be surprised if Naz Reid actually leads the Wolves in scoring with something like 20 to 25. It's going to be somebody like that. I think guys like Edwards, Towns, Gobert don't play as much because I think the Wolves build a sizable lead and the Hornets maybe kind of like add a little, you know, frosting to the, a little frosting to their points late in the game as the Wolves will be up by, you know, 110 to 80 or something along the way. That's my belief, but we'll see. Hopefully the Hornets don't make this one of those scary games. Similar with the Washington Wizards coming up. Watch out. This is a back-to-back type of thing. So now we're going on the road. East Coast here. Washington Wizards, who are 7-33. Yeah, don't mess around with these guys. Take care of business. We did not play the Wizards yet this year, and I didn't think we had. Wednesday, Jan 24th, and Tuesday, April 9th at Target Center. This one, of course, is in the nation's capital. And we'll leave that conversation right where it is. Anyhow, 15 points a game, 30 rebounds, or what am I saying? 15th in points, 30th in rebounds. They're the worst rebounding team in the league, them being the Wizards. Three-point percentage, they're 23rd. They're 9th in assists, so they got that going for them. And assist-to-turnover ratio, they're 9th. Other than that, 9th in steals. So they have a couple of upper echelon statistics. The Wizards are 1-4 in their last five, losing to Oklahoma City, Indiana. They beat the Atlanta Hawks, on the road. Interesting. 127.99, so interesting. Lost to Detroit, so there's the most recent Detroit win. Congratulations, Pistons, getting the job done there. 129.117. And then they lost to the Knicks. 113-109. I kind of like the Pistons. You know, I like them more than the Wizards, for the most part. Wizards have Tyus Jones, and there's always that possible trade, you know, type of thing. People want that to happen. Not sure if it's going to. He's played in 40 games. He's averaging 12.5 and six, just under 6 assists anyway. Tough three-pointer shooter is Tyus Jones, 41%. And he's a point guard, remember, 51%+ from the floor. That's pretty impressive. Daniel Gafford, yep, I remember him being a shot blocker, a rebounder kind of guy. I wouldn't mind having a player like him getting more minutes this year than others, I suppose. 10 points, a block and, two blocks a game. That's easy up there. 7.5 rebounds. Kuzma's leading the club in scoring. And I remember him being a pain in the butt for us in the past when we lost to them. 22.2 points, 6 rebounds and 4.5 assists. 11 rebounds for Marvin Bagley with 20 points as well. Jordan Poole, the guy who helped destroy the Golden State Warriors. Well, not destroy him, but kind of from within. And good. Thank you. Indirectly, but kind of, sort of. Wolves have to win this game. I want to pick the Wolves to win all of these. I really do, but I have a feeling there's going to be like one of those weird games here. Maybe we don't beat the Thunder. I got to think we're going to beat the Hornets. But I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to take care of business against the Wizards and the Brooklyn Nets, which would mean, what would it be? 9 wins in a row if the Wolves pull that off. That'd be 8 wins in a row if the Wolves pull it off. Apologize. It'd be wonderful. I'd be thrilled. Can the Wolves do it? I want to believe yes. And yes, annoyingly, the Washington Wizards logo was designed by the same company, and it looks almost the same. It's just that it's a, you know, it's the same basketball with a star thing. It's kind of annoying. Well, it's a star instead of, like, I don't know. Yeah, they are both stars. It's kind of annoying. You don't like to see generic kind of, even though it's like nicely done, it's still annoying when you consider how similar it is. Yeah, it is a star. It's annoying how you can see the similarity. That's one thing. Hope the Wolves' new logo, well, it was new, isn't that bad, but it could be better. And again, when you find out how it's like super similar to the Wizards, it's kind of like, eh. But you can see the Washington Monument in the logo, interestingly enough, and then a star at the top. So it's nicely done in terms of creativity. But now I'm talking about logos. It feels like me and Marcus back in the day. He's very artistic. His Marcus the forecaster. And yeah. And he can be very critical about boring art. Yeah, and totally understand you there, Marcus. Yep, in case he's listening. And how the Wolves uniforms look like a cheap sailor outfit, like the white jerseys. I agree. It's not like I'm disagreeing with him at all. It's just funny. You know, it sounds like me and him having our conversations, and how the Washington Bullets was a train the whole time. It had nothing to do with guns and bullets and non-violence. No, it's a train. Get on the silver bullet, you know? Get on the silver bullet. Duh. It's not a gun. It's a train. So we had fun talking about that about 10 years ago here on Timberwolves Explosion. Oh, no. What the heck is that? What is going on? Somebody's... I don't understand. Yeah. Okay, my apologies. People calling out of nowhere, so... Yeah, do they really think I'm going to answer right now? No. Not important. Anyhow, at the end of the day, the Wolves will beat the Wizards. At least I would like to believe so, that the Wolves will beat the Wizards at the end of the day. It's probably going to be one of those annoyingly close games, kind of like Detroit. Something like 117-112, 117-110, something like that. It'll be annoyingly close, but the Wolves will pull away when it matters. And, yeah, that's what's going to happen at the end of the day. I'm kind of distracted now. I apologize. Carl Anthony Towns with 28, but the Wolves escape with a 7-point win, I believe, with the Wizards. 117-110. The Wolves will escape with a win. The Brooklyn game might be a problem. 16-24. They've been a pain in the butt in the past. Yep, Dinwiddie's back there again. This is like his second go-round. He's only averaging 32% from the three-point range. Huh. 39%, but I remember he's killed us multiple times. Claxton's a bigger guy, right? Yeah, he's not like his son's, or his father, Speedy, back in the day. It was a heck of a quick little guy. Nick is much larger. 2.3 blocks a game. Yep, crazy. It's crazy. Yep, you're old enough to remember their dad, you know, very well. I mean, it didn't seem like that long ago. It was only early 2000s, right? So, but now that's 20 years ago already. Michael Bridges, this is the other guy, and rumors of the Wolves possibly trading for him, but I don't know. I mean, good luck with that. He's their best player for the most part. 21.4% or 21.4 points a game, 3.5 assists, 5 rebounds. It's not the easiest matchup, but it's certainly not the hardest. The Wolves, actually, there's a pretty good chance the Wolves do go on an 8-game win streak. Washington has lost 4 in a row, losing to Portland twice. They lost to Portland twice. Portland, you know, the team that we whipped and everybody else has been whipping? They lost to Portland twice, yet they lose only by 1 point to Miami, which is funny. Must have been a trap game for the Heat, 96-95. They almost lost that game. They also lose to Cleveland along the way and got beat by, they beat Oklahoma City. See, that's weird. So thank you. Thank you, Brooklyn. I appreciate that. And Ben Simmons is alive and kind of. Where is he? He's played in 6 games. He's played in 6 games. He's had almost 11 rebounds in those 6 games that he's played, which is crazy. 6.5 assists. Ben Simmons is alive, only 6.5 points a game. I'm not sure when's the last time he even played, though. Well, he's not on the injured list. Daniel Gafford, oh, this is Washington. Damn it. Yeah, so Gafford has a head injury. Yikes. So hopefully he's okay. That's kind of scary. Michael Bridges' shin, okay. Mikal Bridges' shin as of the 18th, so we'll see what's going on there. Derek Whitehead foot, Jan 15th, and Dayron Sharp knee, Jan 7th. Brooklyn is 18th in points, 7th in rebounds, 2nd in rebounds, pardon me, 16th in three-point percentage, so on and so forth, but good at protecting the ball, basically 6th in turnovers and 6th in assist to turnovers. So good for them. Brooklyn Nets will play them Thursday, Jan 25th, and Saturday, February 24th. They have lost 4 in a row, like discussed before. I think the Wolves do win 8 in a row. Why not? Why not come out with that? I have a feeling the Wolves win 8 in a row. I hope we don't lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Hope we don't lose one of these, you know, don't drop one of these in a back-to-back type of situation. But I think the Timberwolves get the win in this one. Kind of a close, well, kind of semi-close type of game, back and forth. I guess Ben Simmons is playing. I don't know. I don't know what to think about the guy. Talented, but he can't shoot. That's the thing. So, yeah, talented, but he can't shoot, whatever that means, right? At the end of the day, the Wolves are going to, what kind of games has have they been having again? Yeah, they've been giving up points a little bit, but not too much. They're probably a little more on the defensive side. They gave up a lot to Portland, which is crazy. But since then, it's been pretty low scoring against the Nets. So I'm going to go with the final score of 108 to 96. The Timberwolves will win the game over the Brooklyn Nets. Karl Anthony Towns at 35 against his former club, or his hometown, whatever. They were New Jersey, you know what I mean? So he grew up with them, basically, generally speaking. They did move to Brooklyn a bit ago, but still, Karl Anthony Towns has been in the NBA a while as well. So that was kind of his team growing up, coming from New Jersey. 35 for Karl Anthony Towns, and the Wolves get the win. With that, we'll take a quick break and look into fan interaction. And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 3, fan interaction segment. At TWolvesEX, at TWolvesEX is the Twitter account. The Instagram is Timberwolves_explosion. Do give that a follow if you could. It would be appreciated. That one definitely needs some love. It's been kind of it's been quiet. Some conversation. I'm going to think of something, but we'll see what happens there. At the end of the day, I want to thank Levi and Levi out of New Zealand, and Vince Germano out of Australia for retweeting the most recent show. Dave Hickey, a Purple Mafia Hall of Famer, has followed Timberwolves Explosion. That's awesome. So thank you for following. Hope you're enjoying the show. Yeah. I don't know if he ever listened to the show before, but maybe he does now. That's cool. Tanae, Levi, Vince Germano, you guys are all absolute Hall of Famers of Timberwolves Explosion. There's no question about that. I was kind of going back and forth of random hoops. That would be Rhys Pedretti. Yep, Timberwolves Hall of Famer, of course, coming out of Brisbane, Australia. Says, Lakers are too good tonight. Back at the hotel, kids asleep. I'm not far off. I'm catching some Z's as well. Ice hockey tomorrow night. Then fly to New York early Friday morning for 10 nights. Interesting. Pretty cool. Ice hockey, huh? Would it be the LA Kings? And then you fly to New York. Interesting. So hope you're having a good time in case you're listening on your trip. Yeah, hope you're having a good time there. Mr. Rhys Pedretti. Random hoops coming coming out of Brisbane, Australia, visiting the U.S. Cool. That's nice. The legend Chick Hearn. Yep, that's the statue there. Yep, so he went to a Laker game, obviously, and that's really cool. So, let's continue. Just kind of like I was tweeting a bit, kind of ranting and raving during the course of last night. What was I saying? I was saying great defense by Jaden McDaniels, huge three by Mike Conley. Wolves finally in front and building on it. Yeah, that's what put up the Wolves up by, was it four at the time? That was awesome. I was getting annoyed at some of the stuff going on. I was saying when you're up by 6 points in a close game in the fourth quarter, rushing up the court and flailing wildly to the basket is not wise. I don't understand it. And then Anthony Edwards blew by everybody. Yeah, that wasn't him. That was the one who did that, I think, was Alexander. I was like, what's going on, man? He just kind of flailed to the basket and got blocked or whatever. It was really frustrating. It was a turnover. Or he missed the layup, basically. And there was a stretch where Memphis had, like, I don't know if it was like 4 or 5 offensive rebounds in a row. I was screaming. I was like, get the bleeping rebound. And finally, the Wolves ended up getting the rebound. I was shocked that they didn't hit a three or something, because that's just how basketball is. It's like, of course they hit a damn three when we don't get the rebound. It's so annoying. And I said, correction, driving to the basket and blowing by everybody and dunking is completely fine, especially when you burn a good 15 seconds before that. Nicely done. Yep, see, that was the whole point. You burn some time because you're already up by 6, and it's the other team is coming at you like, you know, like world beaters. They're coming at you like a stampede. It's terrifying. And you don't want to blow the game, and the Wolves thankfully did not. I was saying, no, that was a fourth quarter. That was one of the most fun games all season. Take that, NBA on TNT. So I do believe I got a response from Levi Brown. I keep calling him today. I'm sorry, Levi. He was saying, of course, the season where I haven't really been able to watch the games, the Wolves are actually good. Yep. Oh, I understand that. That sucks. I was saying, oh, it's super hard to keep up with our busy schedules. Thank God tonight was a later game. Otherwise, I would have to catch up to do the show tomorrow. And yeah, I mean, that was, it just made this show more fun, being able to watch it live rather than having to catch up with it. I could kind of put the emotions together rather than just kind of, you know, watching it like on a replay. It's still fun and exciting, but it's more fun when it's actually happening rather than you already know the outcome first. That's not as good. Timberwolves, yeah, I was saying Timberwolves are in uncharted territory and are now on pace for 60 wins. And then I talked about, I so wish I could be young like Anthony Edwards' age again. This was a throwback Thursday night. Yep, like I was talking about. It just really brought back wonderful memories of hooping it up at the health club. Yeah, Anthony Edwards, you hit the spot, my friend. Yeah. So, sorry if I'm reading my own tweets. That might be kind of dorky. So, my apologies. I don't hope to hear from you guys some more. I can understand you're busy. Maybe, like, you're not able to be, you know, watching it around the time, you know, and such. Believe me, I can relate. You know, a lot of times I have to catch up and such. So, it is what it is. I have to catch up and, you know, see what I need to see and then be able to do the show, that type of thing. So, I could be more interactive, and I need to be. Obviously, you know, like to hear from Vince Germano. You know, sometimes we talk off the air, obviously, and of course we do. You know, it's not like we're talking on the air all the time. we're all busy people. We're all busy adults trying to get by. The world economy stinks, so it's like it seems like we're all working harder than before, whether we want to or not, that type of thing. So it just kind of is what it is. It's out of necessity. So, Nick Timas liked that one about when I talked about the throwback Thursday night, and that's really what it was. Nick Timas coming also out of Aussie. Miss hearing from you, Nick. I do miss hearing from Nick and Benzo, Levi, Tanae, Vince, Rhys Pedretti. I really miss Wayne Hunt as well. My goodness, Wayne Hunt. You know, the Courtside podcast disappeared off the face of the earth. Come on, come back. Come back, Wayne. Come back, Wayne. Please come back. I'm sure he's not too pleased with how things have gone down in Memphis, but they certainly are playing better. I mean, they were a threat last night, that's for damn sure. But, yeah, Wayne has pretty much disappeared from social media. He's kind of come back and then disappeared and come back, so hopefully the courtside returns. It's, you know, it sucks not having it around. Just a huge shout-out there. Also, a huge shout-out to Scott Doherty, Wolves Pack from Flip to Finch. You know, thank you very much. You're a wonderful Facebook page. You're a really cool guy. You know, huge shout out to you. And yeah, it's a great Facebook page, and I highly recommend it. Obviously, Timberwolves, wall-to-wall Timberwolves conversation. Not worshiping Steph Curry like other ones in the past. That used to drive me nuts. It's like, okay, you know, this is a Timberwolves page. Thank you. This and that. So I know, why did I even throw that in? But it happened a lot, let's just say, during that stupid 70-win season, whatever. It was annoying. With that said, yeah, have yourself a wonderful week, and go Timberwolves. Let's win 8 in a row. Why not?